It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now, the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, The 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in a Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
His preparation of the in the off season, but also what he does during the season is it's almost perfect, you know, from the nutrition to the training room to everything. And, when the game is on the line, he doesn't care, you know. It's a full go. And he's a perfect example of, you know, the players that we want, you know. And, people should take a look at him. You know, I'm glad that my boys, you know, he's kind of like their favorite for other reasons. But, when they start playing, it's easy, you know, like, just look at him. And hopefully we can stay for a long, you know, like, you don't have to watch on TV. Just come to Fenway and see it. But just watch him and you'll be okay.
We played that sound a lot this week. That is Alex Cora from actually a couple of weeks ago. And every time I can't get enough of that cut. I don't know why. I think it's just because Cora is so open about how he really feels about Bogaerts. And dare I say, he's putting pressure on the organization to bring the guy back. That's what he's doing. He's siding with the player. Alex Cora is no fool. He looks at what the Red Sox have on the field and he says, we're short as it is. You're going to take away my shortstop too and maybe not sign my third baseman? That would be a problem. I don't blame him. But the way he says it, that's what you want him to be. That's what we want our guys to be. That Xander Bogaerts is standard that the Red Sox hold. I would say in much the same way, I've used this analogy a million times, Matt McCarthy, who joins me here in studio tonight. And by the way, one of the first times we've been able to work together all summer. How do you like that?
Yeah, these Fridays, Maz, all you were suspiciously missing on, I don't know, every single Friday, say from maybe May until now. Good to have you back.
Well, so the idea was to have me and McCarthy together on Fridays, except I take every Friday off during the summer. So I'm never here on Friday.
A lot of me talking into the ether this summer, Maz.
So it's really McCarthy replacing me on Fridays is what it is. But he is alongside. And so, again, but that comment from Cora, I do feel is like him telling the organization, nail this guy down. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. He sets a standard for us. And I was saying, I've made the analogy before that when you talk about the most professional players in Boston sports, like the guys you look at and say, that is really sort of the model of a good player with a good attitude who shows up to work every day, doesn't miss time to injury. Like, and again, I'm speaking in generalities, but I put these three guys in the same class. Bogaerts, Bergeron, Devin McCourty. Same kind of players. And I, by the way, I wouldn't tell you that any one of them is like, you know, the best player in the league or one of the top five in the league. They're all really, really good players. They're not divas. They're not glitzy. They just show up and play well and are consistent. All three of them. Now, again, McCourty's older now. Bergeron's older. And Bogaerts is getting there, but you get the idea. I don't want to lose Xander Bogaerts. Okay. And again, phone lines are open, by the way, 617-779-0985. We do have a giveaway later in the show. But we'll touch on a number of things related to baseball and the Red Sox. A couple of big picture topics I want to get to as well, but we're going to start here. Matt McCarthy, is the characterization I just gave of Xander Bogaerts, is that accurate?
I think it's spot on, Maz. I mean, I think Bergeron and Bogaerts are two very, very comparable players. I would just say let's not sell Xander Bogaerts short. I think he is a top five shortstop in baseball. He's going to get paid like a top five shortstop in baseball. I kept hearing about how this is a down year for Xander Bogaerts. He might win the batting title. So maybe it's a down year for him. He still might win the batting title. That's how good a player he is. But yes, he's the guy you want to keep around. He's as steady as it gets, and he's somebody that you want to build around. They should not let him go.
Okay, so where is there a limit for you? In other words, when you look at Bogaerts, you say, I want him back, but I'm not going to pay him X, right? In other words, is there a line somewhere for you on Bogaerts? There has to be.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't pay over $200 million or anything like that, but I don't think it's going to take that to keep him here, even if it's $30 million over 6 years. I mean, I can do that, Maz. That's $180 million. I would pay that for Xander Bogaerts. I don't know if every Red Sox fan would pay that for him, but I would. I think he's worth that because I think he's a culture guy, and I think he's going to age gracefully, and he's going to be a really good player for the vast majority of that contract. So I would pay him $180 million over 6 years. I would.
Okay. And if they don't, what do you want them to do?
I want them to sign Trey Turner.
Okay, explain.
So if you don't sign Bogaerts, and I keep hearing, well, you wait for Marcelo Meyer. The guy's probably 2 years away. So what are you just going to do? And I heard you say this earlier. You're just going to ignore shortstop for the next 2 years? Are you going to put Story there at short and then ignore second base for the next 2 years and count on Christian Arroyo being healthy and playing every day and contributing? I don't like that plan. But if you do let Xander Bogaerts go, I'm going out and I'm spending a boatload of money on Trey Turner, who is, to me, probably a better player than Bogaerts, a more dynamic player. And the one thing that Turner can give you that Bogaerts is not going to give you is he's going to give you a speed element. He's going to give you a table setting element. And the reason I would consider replacing Xander Bogaerts with Trey Turner is the Red Sox don't have a leadoff hitter. And they haven't had a leadoff hitter in a long time. They haven't had a leadoff hitter since Mookie Betts has been here. They don't have a leadoff hitter coming up through the system. So if you are going to let Xander Bogaerts walk, and I would not do that, I would pay him and I would keep him here. But if you do let him walk, spend a boatload of money on Trey Turner, bring him in here, and he will give you a dynamic that you don't have, and I think you need, frankly. The Red Sox don't have a table setter for this lineup. Trey Turner would give you that.
Okay, so for people who don't know, Turner's currently playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Most people know that, but I feel compelled to say that, Matt, because baseball isn't what it used to be. And so let me add an element to this discussion. Turner got traded to the Dodgers last year, everyone remembers. Last year, Trey Turner, 2021 combined, batted .328, which was best in the league. 28 home runs, 32 steals. He had 195 hits. He finished fifth in the National League MVP voting. This year, again, he's played a ton of games. Last year, he played 148 games. This year, he's played 140, which has to put him among the major league leaders. Yep. Again, there's only about 20 games left. The numbers aren't that different. .305, 838 OPS. 20 home runs, 96 RBI, 175 hits. He's stolen 24 bases. And the speed element in his game, he's a good base stealer. The efficiency of his steals is good. 24 out of 27. Last year was 32 out of 37. So the point is, he's not just fast. He doesn't get caught. So he's a good player all the way around. Let me tell you what scares me about Trey Turner over Bogaerts. First of all, if you let Bogaerts go and you sign Turner, are you saving any money?
No, you're spending more money.
Right? So you're not going to save anything. They're basically the same age. Right? Turner is 29. Let me see if he turned 30 during the course. He'll turn 30 next season.
Next year, and Bogaerts is about to turn 30.
Okay, so Turner's a little less than a year, is a little younger, okay, by about a year, not even, but let's call it a year just to make it easy. He's going to cost you the same or more. And he's never played in this market. So one of the things that really concerns me about, because I've lived this, I've seen the Red Sox make these mistakes before. They had John Lester. They let him go.
Right.
What happened? They ended up paying more for a replacement with David Price. And then he gets here and he can't hack it. So now what? Like, so there is a variable of going, you follow me here, though.
Oh, absolutely. When and you, I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah, when you go outside of your own organization, there is now a variable. Now, if Trey Turner were 25 years old, I might be more inclined to say, bite the bullet. He might have one bad year, but the next five will be better than Bogaerts. It's five, do it. In this case, the age difference isn't that great. You're talking about bringing a guy into this market. Now, look, he's playing in L.A., and he's playing for a juggernaut. But I think the reason I say that is L.A.'s not Boston in terms of the intensity, but they're in a win-it-all-cost mode out there in L.A. Okay, it's all about the championship out there. Now, he's not going to have the same kind of supporting cast here that he would have out there, but, you know, it's not like he's playing in Kansas City, okay, where there's just not the same level of attention or intensity. I like Turner as a player, but you introduce the variable of being able to hack it in Boston, and I'd rather keep Bogaerts.
Well, and I think that's one of the primary arguments to keep Bogaerts. And I mean, let me make this clear, Maz. I mean, I want Xander Bogaerts back. That is my number one priority, you know, approach this offseason when it comes to shortstop. You retain Xander Bogaerts. I mean, that is a no-brainer. The fact that we're even here talking about it on September 16th, the fact that the Red Sox have not extended this guy yet is borderline criminal to me. But let's just say for the sake of discussion that they don't value him all that much. And I kind of have to question whether they do value him based on the 4-for-90 offer that they gave him at the beginning of this year, which is insulting and offensive. So if Bogaerts does walk because they don't want him or he's too offended and wants to go somewhere else, which, by the way, I don't buy. I still think he wants to be here. I would then look at Trey Turner as a backup option. And I follow this up, you know, by saying that John Heyman has reported that Trey Turner wants to come back east. So if Bogaerts is not going to return, I guess this is the point I'm making. You cannot.
Don't skimp.
Don't skimp. Go all in. Don't just say we have Mayer coming up in 2 years. Sorry, not good enough. What about 2023? What about 2024? And at least he would give you a leadoff hitter, which you don't have, and I don't know how you're going to get at this point. And I think Red Sox fans have ignored that spot. You need a leadoff hitter. But yes, 1,000%, it should be Xander Bogaerts. It is a no-brainer. They better get it done. My concern is they won't get it done. So what's your plan B?
Okay, so you mentioned the offer they made to Bogaerts in the spring, which was basically tacking on 1 year to his existing 3 years, which he can opt out of at the end of the year anyway. So essentially what it came to was 4 years and $90 million, which was laughable given what he'll get on the open market, especially now that he's been one of the best players in the league. Do you think they've changed? In other words, if you had a guess right now, do you think they will be more aggressive now than they were in the spring?
I think so. Yeah, I think they're feeling the heat from fans. I think they're feeling the heat from the manager. And you know, you played the comments from Alex Cora at the beginning of this show. In some ways, the year that the Red Sox have had maybe saving them from themselves, because I don't know if they can let Bogaerts go and they, you know, trade Devers. I don't know if they can afford to take that type of public hit. They will get raked over the coals, as they should, if either of those players are playing anywhere else next year. So maybe things have changed. But you know what? If they had been a wild card team and they went and got the, you know, lost in the first round and things weren't as ugly as they got this year, I think it was like borderline certain that Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers probably would have been gone.
Isn't it amazing, Matt, that the fact that they ended up sucking this year and they're going to finish last in their division, and I haven't seen what Baltimore's done of late, so I don't know what the gap is, but I don't think they're catching the Orioles, that ultimately could bring them to a better place. Like, because I think if they had let those guys go, that would have been a big mistake. Big, big, big mistake. In any case, I also believe they're going to be more aggressive with Bogaerts this fall. I hope I'm right. I don't have any inside info. I wish I did. But I just can't imagine that the Red Sox are in a spot right now to play hardball with anybody. They don't have much to lean on. So you want to say, well, they got a couple of good players coming through the system. Casas is here. Bayo's here. Marcelo Meyer will be here in a couple of years. Fine. Meyer's not ready.
Right.
Casas is not ready to bat third, and Bayo's not ready to be an ace. So what are you going to do, flush next year down the toilet?
Doesn't that make your culture even more important, too?
No question.
And there's no more important player to the culture of the Boston Red Sox than Xander Bogaerts. So I think that's worth something. You might say, hey, McCarthy, I think he's a $24 million a year player. Well, you know what? That culture thing might make him worth 27 or 28, at least to me. Now, I think he's a $28 million player, $30 million a year player, just on merit, just based on his performance on the field. But the culture and the leadership and what he brings to that clubhouse, you can't understate it. For a team that you hope is going to contend next year, and you're hoping you're going to bring along some young players, you need Xander Bogaerts here.
I mean, you got to win some fans back. You got to win the fans back, because I think you've already lost them. 617-779-0985. I see a few of you lined up. Again, we'll play Chaim Bloom's comments on Bogaerts from earlier in the week when we come back. I also want to get to some stuff with Matt that we weren't able to get to last week because we were in different locations. And a story I want to get to by the end of the show. Albert Pujols. I'm just curious as to whether people are interested in the story. I will do that all in the baseball hour tonight. Don't go.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, look, every situation's different. They're all unique. This one is especially unique because of what Xander means to this organization, to the region, to us. I haven't known him as long as some have, but you don't have to be around him very long to know why he's special. And as we start getting into the meat of our offseason planning as a front office, start talking about things, you know, with each other, with ownership, this is going to be front of mind for us, to say the least.
He's been putting together a tremendous run. You see the numbers there over the last dozen games. He's hitting .478 with a .1246 OPS. And there's a lot of national coverage that while he's putting together a salary drive and he's getting people's attention, I assume at this point, none of this is telling you anything you didn't already know about Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, this is what makes him special. We saw him, I mean, he was grinding in August. We all could see it. And then he goes on a run like this. And the consistency is what he brings to the table that really makes him so special and makes him who he is. So you're exactly right. He's not telling us anything we didn't know, and that's a compliment.
Chaim Bloom on Xander Bogaerts. This is from the pregame show earlier in the week. Just quickly, Matt, the idea of a salary drive, a contract drive for Bogaerts. Do you think that's what's going on here?
No, I think he got healthy. I think Xander Bogaerts was playing hurt for a large portion of this summer. He had the wrist injury, he had the shoulder injury, and he stayed in the lineup. He played every single day. I mean, Xander Bogaerts played 132 games this year. Yet another reason why he's extraordinarily valuable. So, no, I don't think this is necessarily a contract push for him. I don't think Xander's that type of player, to be honest. I think Xander would be the type of guy who the contract thing would weigh on him and would actually affect his performance. So, no, I don't think this is a contract push for him. I think he just got healthy.
See, nor do I, and I'll tell you why. His numbers this year, completely in line with what they've been the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. I mean, power is a little bit down, but average is a little bit up. And I think that has to do with the fact that he wasn't healthy enough to drive the ball.
Okay, so again, but if there's anything, they're down. The power's down, right? Otherwise, the OPS completely in line with what he's been. This is the beauty of Bogaerts. Bloom got that part of the comment right. See, I don't think Xander Bogaerts is a superstar. I don't.
I agree.
What I think he is, though, is a really solid, good team player whose value on the field is increased by some of his intangibles. And so being in the lineup every day is worth a lot. In baseball, it's worth a lot. Manager can come to the ballpark every day, write your name in the lineup, and not think twice about it. There are a lot of guys that won't play through bumps and bruises, and Bogarts will. So let's take a couple of calls. Again, Matt McCarthy in tonight. We'll go till 7 o'clock, as always. And I don't need to tell you, only a couple of weeks left of the baseball reporters. We get the rest of September, the first few days of October, and that's it. Then you'll be done with me for the extra hour. Lucky you. Jacob's in a car. Jacob, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Maz? I first want to say congratulations on your new book. And I also enjoyed reading your book, Dynasty, the story of how the Red Sox became a baseball powerhouse. You remember that, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, I remember it. Thank you, Jacob. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. And so I went through that book twice. And I want to talk about Bogarts. And I would love for the Sox to re-sign Bogarts for all the reasons you point out. And, like, he's on track to possibly play his entire career here, like Jeter, and could possibly be the next Red Sox to play most of his career here in Boston, like Pedroia and David Ortiz, you know?
Yeah, so look, again, Jacob, I don't get romantic about it. I don't get sentimental about it. The fact is that most players now play for more than one team. It happens. I mean, you know, Bogarts leaves, you know, I'll be pissed and I'll probably kill the Red Sox for it, but if they have a better team, at the end of the day, that's all I really care about. So I want them to get better. That's what I want. I want the Red Sox to get better. And I want them to commit to the team and to the franchise and pursue championships. That's what I want. And I want that both as a talk show host, and I want that as a lifelong Bostonian, okay, and someone who cares about the baseball. I'm not interested in a team that sucks and puts in a half-assed effort. It does nothing on any level. I like the player. I like what he stands for. So I think they should pay him. But if they let him go, sign Devers, sign Aaron Judge or Trey Turner, and then improve the pitching staff, and they're a 94-win team next year, all the power to them. It's not about the one guy for me. You follow me?
Yeah, sure. But I think the one guy does mean something to the fan base. And I think we're at a point in time here with the Red Sox where keeping somebody like Xander Bogaerts sends maybe a more important message than it would have sent, say, 4 or 5 years ago. Because of what's happened with the Red Sox over the last 3 years.
Who specifically?
Well, you trade Mookie Betts. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And you have Red Sox fans questioning what the future of this franchise is and whether they're willing to pay and willing to keep players that they develop. So the message of keeping Xander Bogarts, I think at this particular time, Maz, is absolutely critical for the Boston Red Sox. We can get romantic about the fact that if you keep him here, he could get 3,000 hits. He could be a Hall of Fame player. And if you keep him here, he's probably going to go down as the greatest shortstop in the history of the franchise. As somebody who cares about Red Sox history and baseball history, that means something to me, but it's not 100% the reason to keep a player like Xander Bogarts. There are two reasons to keep Xander Bogarts. One, the consistency and what he brings to the franchise, the message that it sends not only to the players in the clubhouse, but to the fan base. And two, I just think he's going to be a good player over the course of the next 5 or 6 years. He's the type of player that ages gracefully. Pure hitters generally age gracefully. Maybe the power will dip, but is he going to be a guy who's going to go out there and give you competitive, consistent bats at the age of 34, 35? I think he will be.
Yeah, if he's not going to be a good player, you don't sign him.
And I think he will be a good player.
But I think the message that it sends to the fan base is really important now, Matt. I'm going to agree with you on that. John's in Charlestown. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love the Bergeron and McCourty analogy. I think it's just so useful. And I love the rational, passionate way that the two of you are arguing. I just don't see Bloom and this ownership as not having another boneheaded year in him. I don't trust them to make the rational choice. They've indicated that they've doubled down on this approach, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it. And I think they might have another boneheaded year in them. What do you think?
Well, you know what? Again, I'm with Matt on this one, John. If they had gotten a good year out of this season, I think that they let Bogarts go. They potentially let Devers go. Devers is a different case because of the age. Yep. And he's left-handed. And let's face it, he's a unique hitter. I mean, he's a freak. So you almost have to sign Devers because I don't know that you can necessarily replace him, but let's put that aside. If they had won, would they have stuck with their approach?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be no reason to change.
Right.
They got their asses kicked. And their approach hurt them. It hurt them in right field. It hurt them at first base. And it hurt them in the bullpen. especially with Garrett Whitlock. I keep pounding that one into the ground, but I'm sorry.
You should. It's indefensible.
There was no reason to take Garrett Whitlock out of the bullpen and put him in the rotation in 2022. There was zero reason to do that. And they did. They hurt the team in 2022 by making that move. It was a mistake.
Because they didn't care about 2022.
It was a colossal mistake. Let alone the other stuff with the trades and everything else. Like the Renfro deal, big mistake. Had they gotten something back that could have helped the big league club, great. They didn't. And we don't know if the prospects can play. It was a mistake. They can't afford that again. And they've lost the trust of the fan base, rightly or wrongly. Like, I still get mad at people mad who call them cheap.
Yeah,
they're not cheap. It's how they spend their money. They are risk averse. They don't want to invest in the big contract and the superstar player anymore, which I sort of say, guys, get over it.
Right, you're the Red Sox.
Okay, bite the bullet. So you ate the money on David Price. He did help you win a World Series. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's expensive. I'm not suggesting that they should do that every year.
Yeah, I would say that contract also ultimately worked out.
But you got to pick your spots. You got to pick your spots. And right now, you need to throw some money around. You need to show people that you're serious about keeping your team together or keeping talent on the field and winning. You need to show people that. McCarthy and I have not really had a chance, at least face-to-face, to discuss some of the new rules in baseball, which went into effect last Friday. Well, let me rephrase. They were voted on last Friday. They'll go in effect next season. We'll touch on that when we come back. And again, we have a giveaway later in the hour as well, so don't miss that.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
More baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think the fans will love the pitch timer, which creates more action and a faster pace of play. I think fans will appreciate the bigger bases, which promote player safety and more stolen base activity. And I think fans will cherish the moments absent extreme defensive shifts when games are decided, you know, not by whether their team's infield is positioned by the perfect algorithm, but by whether their team's second baseman can range to make an athletic diving play with everything on the line.
Theo Epstein last week when baseball announced its rules changes. McCarthy and I talked about this a little bit on Friday because I was remote. I was doing the Red Sox game in Baltimore. Matt was kind enough to fill in that day during Felger and Maz and then fill in again on the Baseball Hour that night. But I was off the air at about 5:15 mm-hmm. last week. And so we didn't really have a chance to talk about them face to face. But I assume that you are in favor of all the rules changes.
Oh, God, I love them. I absolutely love them. I've been to Worcester a couple times this year to see the Woo Sox. And it's just such a better game. And it kind of reminds you, it's like, this is why I love baseball. You kind of can't take your eye off the ball. The pitcher gets it. He's forced to throw it. The game moves along quicker. And there's just more action. Fielders have to range now to make a play. I couldn't love them anymore, Maz. I mean, to me, they might be the most significant rule changes in the history of the game. Like, going back 150 years, I mean, okay, lowering the mound in 68 was significant, but I think fans are going to love this next year. I think you're going to absolutely love it.
Is there anything you don't like?
No. No. I love all the rule changes. There's no reason not to. And, I mean, I'll say it this way. 10 years ago, the idea of a pitch clock would have offended me. And it did offend me because I consider myself a bit of a purist, a bit of a traditionalist. Like, I hate the fact that we've got the DH in the National League now. I'm one of those baseball fans, Maz. But oh, the game has just gotten too bad. The game has just gotten too slow. The game has become borderline unwatchable in certain, you know, aspects of it. So this is going to create a much better version of baseball for fans, and I love it.
So here's the other thing, too, and that comment that Theo made to me, for whatever reason, I keep harping on this, that one comment he made, which is, again, fans are going to like the pitch timer, but there'll be much more interest in a game that is decided not by where their algorithm says they should place their second baseman, but the fact that he can range to his left and make a play with a game on the line. And I just think that for me, that sort of crystallized the whole thing.
It's perfect.
I'm not there to see the freaking, you know, analysts come up with the formula. That's not what the draw is. Well, wow, look where they had him positioned. They had that. How many people turn on a game to see that? It's boring. When you're in the right place, it's boring. Like, the ball's hit right to you, you make the play, that's it. The good stuff comes when you can't predict it. That's when the good stuff comes. Baseball's become so predictable in that way, they effed it up. So you know what? You have to change the rules. And I've read a lot of different things about, you know, different people. Like, the one that really goes up my ass is the one where the players are saying, well, they didn't really consult us on it. Wait a minute. This was negotiated in the bargaining agreement. The rules committee was formed in the latest CBA. The union didn't stand in the way of it. They let it go through. So what are you bitching about? Like, I don't get that. And honestly, I just feel like the players are woefully uninformed. I think they bitch half the time just to bitch.
I agree.
Like, just because they want to come out and, you know, sound off against Major League Baseball, do they really understand the problems in the game?
No. No, and that's why, you know, I heard you playing the clip of Joey Votto earlier this week, and it was so refreshing. It's like, my God, here's a player who gets it. CC Sabathia, obviously not pitching anymore, but there's a guy who gets it. The game has just become so unwatchable because of how slow it is. There's no action. And to your point, Maz, the most worthless play in baseball is the ground ball into the shift, or the, you know, the line shot into the shift and the second baseman standing right there on the outfield grass. It's like, oh God, that's boring. That was a hit for 100 years. That was a hit that, you know, I've always been used to that as a baseball fan. You're going to get more like the product that I think you saw in baseball 20 or 30 years ago. At least I hope so. There's going to be more as a fan to sink your teeth into and say, you know what, man, that was a really good play. It's a good play by that shortstop ranging into a hole instead of the third baseman just standing there because that's where he's positioned. Oh, thank God for that.
Oh, so look, to me, it's you know, I've been screaming about it forever. And, you know, the other part that gets me, too, is like the purists who say the game's never had a clock. Why do we need one now? Well, because you bastardized the game.
Right.
You ruined it.
Right.
So now you have to bring it back to that. And when they say, well, I just want baseball to go back to what it used to be. Well, that's what this will do. This will help that process. The pitcher works faster. The fielders have to feel their position. More balls in play. More athleticism. That's what we're trying to get back to. Like, I don't understand. So the traditionalists that fight the clock, I don't get that. Like, that the clock is being put there to take us back because we've ruined it. Like, that to me is the easiest part of the whole thing. And people just don't see that for some reason.
Well, that's where I was. That's where I was 10 years ago. I mean, baseball doesn't have a clock. That's the, you know, how can you not be romantic about baseball? You go to the park and you don't know when it's going to end. But my attitude was, well, just pitch faster. Yeah, the game needs to get faster, but there's no need to, you know, add new rules or to add something so foreign to me as a baseball fan in regards to a pitch clock. But over the last 10 years, my eyes have been open to the fact that that was never going to happen. You know, 10 years ago, mate, you know, you could argue that, well, if we just get these pitchers to pitch faster and there will be more contact, and if you just get the hitters to actually, you know, bunt, you know, into the shift or, you know, hit the ball the other way, then you don't need to introduce these new rules. But it got to the point, Maz, where that became so apparent that that was never going to happen. And it was just getting worse and worse and worse by the year that we almost had to force change into baseball. We had to litigate.
Not almost.
Into baseball.
No, we did have to. Yeah, we did have to. Not almost. We did have to. We had to force the change. Here's the other thing, too, as it relates to the shifts in the infield. The Red Sox are actually in position to capitalize from this Trevor Story as a second baseman will have more value than he will as a shortstop.
Yes.
So, you know, second base used to be, and that doesn't even factor in that I don't think Story can throw like he did anymore.
I agree.
Now, if there's some sort of elbow issue that gets resolved, then that can always go back. Like, I don't know, but he you know, there's a reason why he was available on the market and why there were stories coming out of Colorado last year about his inability to throw anymore. So, but if you put him at second base has now become an offensive position. But Story has the range of a little guy. He has the range of an old-school second baseman, like, for lack of a better description, Jerry Remy.
Sure.
Okay, when Jerry Remy was a little speedster who played second base, Willie Randolph, guys like that who were good around the – Roberto Alomar.
Sure.
Picking someone more recent. Okay? The second baseman was always a little agile guy who didn't hit for power but was good around the bag and could turn a double play and play defense. Had a lot of range.
And there's a lot of value to that as a baseball fan. I think the average baseball fan appreciates that type of thing.
Trevor Story's both.
Yep.
He has the agility and range to play second base like a little guy, but he's got the power to hit there like a bigger guy. So when I say hit there in the modern game, because if you're shifting all the time, what do you need the range for anymore?
You don't need it.
You don't. So now you can sign a bigger guy to play second base who hits home runs.
Which, by the way, you know, has really bugged me. And when it comes to Xander Bogaerts, you know, we heard all this past offseason from, you know, Milliken and his ilk. Well, you know, his range is bad. His range is bad. Range doesn't matter in baseball in the infield now. So now all of a sudden next year, maybe Xander Bogaerts' range at shortstop actually is a little bit more of a fair criticism. That being said, Xander Bogaerts is going to get, I think, more hits next year because he's going to have, theoretically, more field to work with. I think it's going to bring contact back into the game. The pitchers also won't be able to recharge their arms, you know, by sitting there and waiting a minute, like every single Red Sox reliever does, like every single reliever in baseball does. That's going to create more contact. You're going to see more athleticism. It's just going to be a better product. I can't wait.
So as I always say, Matt, pitching, starting pitching, especially but all pitching, is meant to be an aerobic exercise. You're supposed to be moving, okay? You don't just sit there, you know, like you're slugging burgers between innings and then get out there and take 35 seconds between pitches so you can recharge your arm. Pitchers always were supposed to be in shape. It was supposed to challenge your conditioning. And the idea that we'll go back to that, I like. You have to get quicker outs, easier outs. You know, it's get your legs in shape so you can go deeper into games and get quicker routes and all that stuff. Like, I'm a big believer in that.
Movement. Movement from everybody. More stolen bases in baseball now. I love the idea that you can only pick off twice, and the third time you pick off, you better get them or it's a balk.
It's great.
I mean, that's fantastic. As a fan, hey, that guy's already picked off twice. Something's going to happen here. That's why you watch sports. That's how you get, you know, really engaged. Like, baseball has become such a passive viewing experience. If you can be a little bit more active in your viewing of the game, all of a sudden you're going to get more engaged with the sport. You're going to be reminded, man, this is why I really like baseball. Because if you've got a pitcher, you know that runner is about to go because he's already picked off two times. I'm in it. There's action. I'm about to watch this. Baseball's lacked that for Lord knows how long, man.
Let alone the number of times sometimes a guy will throw over there when you have some fat load at first base who's not going to run.
Right.
And the pitcher throws over there four times anyway.
Buckholz.
You're wasting my time. We'll do a giveaway. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with your calls as well. And I think you all know what the giveaway is, but I want to share something with you as well. That's next.
Stay tuned for more of the Baseball Hour.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Hour. Right now, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, and that's 617-931-0985. Not the show line, the contest line. 617-931-0985. You'll get a copy of my newest book, which comes out on October 18th. This Is Our City, courtesy of Abrams Books, Abrams Publishing. You still have a chance to win over on the Sports Hub contest page as well. So you can enter to win there. There are links to pre-order the book from your favorite retailer, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. That is on the contest page of 98.5thesportshub.com. But right now, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll get a copy. And our promotions director, Kelly Anderson, I'm happy to inscribe or whatever else in the book. We'll do that as well. I have an additional thought on this, but we'll take a couple of calls first, and then we'll get to that. John's in Reading. John, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, good luck with the new book. Hey, real quick on the new rules. I love the pitch clock rule. Love it. It's just like the basketball rule. It's going to speed up the game. I'm all in favor. On the shift rule, it drives me nuts that the current pros cannot hit the other way. I grew up with Boggs, Tony Gwynn, Barrett.
John, I'm going to stop you there because everybody says the same thing. It frustrates all of us. Frustrates all of us. But the fact is they don't even try to anymore. And because of that, it has to be legislated.
Thank you.
Okay, it's the same thing with the pitch clock. Years ago, you didn't need the pitch clock because guys work fast. Now guys work slow. It's not because they have to, right? It's because they're stubborn. So working fast should benefit the pitcher, but they don't do it. So you got to put in legislation to do it.
Yep, that's exactly why I came around on the idea of banning the shift. I was against it 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Hit the other way. Nope. Sorry, it's not going to happen at this point.
I mean, again,
got to put the rule in.
You can only wait so long before it gets out of control, and then you say, okay, well, now I got to put a rule in. Phil in Rhode Island. Phil, go.
Hi, thanks. If you recall on Friday night, last Friday night, you talked about Rich Hill having the best complaint about the pitch clock.
Yes.
And he didn't have extra time in a big minute.
Yes.
Pitch a time accumulator. He takes 13 seconds. He gains 2 seconds.
Okay.
And so in a big,
I got you. It's a rule idea. It's an interesting idea. I'll tell you what. At the start, I want everybody throwing the ball every 15 seconds, 20 seconds with men on base. I don't mind your idea. Okay. You build up some time. You get it back later in the game. It's like vacation time.
Sure.
Okay. Same idea. The number of hours you work, you get a number of vacation days.
They've got a similar rule in curling, Maz. If you watch in the Olympics, you've got a certain amount of time that you can spread over the match. I get that, but you know what? A year from now, 2 years from now, you're not going to hear these players bitching about this. I don't hear any minor league players bitching about it. In fact, I see guys like Bayo come up, and they're so used to it that it's not going to affect those guys. It's going to be the older pitchers who have never dealt with this before, but we have an entire generation of pitchers who are already used to this. It's not going to be a big deal.
Okay, now, can you indulge me for a moment?
Please.
There's something here that's entirely self-serving. This is always an awkward thing when the station is giving away a book that you wrote, okay? And we're encouraging people to buy it. It's a story about the last 20 years in Boston sports, the history of winning here, how the teams interacted with one another. So I promoted it on Twitter. I promoted it on Instagram. I'm just telling people this so they're informed. There are a lot of people that asked me, rightfully, yeah, Maz, all you've done is ripped the teams for 15 years. Now you want us to buy the book? And I would say it's a fair point by you. But let me tell you something. Don't buy the book for me. Buy it for you. And then you say, yeah, but you make, you know, $5 for every copy sold. I really don't. Let me explain to you how it works. When you write a book, they give you an advance. They tell you, we're going to give you X number of dollars to write this book. It's guaranteed no matter what. This is the fifth book I have written. I've yet to receive a royalty check on any of them. So the point is, the advance, I'm going to get paid that no matter what. If royalties come in later on, which, again, I highly doubt because I've never received a royalty check on any book I've ever done. I did Tim Wakefield's book. I did David Ortiz's first book. And I did two others on the Red Sox. All of them sold pretty well. And I've got zero in the way of royalties. So the point is, by the I want the book to do well. I shouldn't mislead people on that. Like, it's not that it doesn't matter to me. It does. And I'm holding this up, Matt, like people can see it, and the only one who can see it's you.
I'm staring at it longingly. This is going to be a Christmas gift that I'm going to give to just about everybody in my family.
But the only point is that it doesn't really affect me financially if people don't buy it. It doesn't. So the way the publisher looks at it, they look at it and say, well, we think we can sell X number of copies of this, so we're going to guarantee you so much. That's how it goes. So, again, it's... the last 20 years have been extraordinary in Boston. This was an attempt to put it all in one place. This is Kevin Maggiore telling me to shut the hell up and get off the air.
It's like the Oscar.
I'm not rushing it. Do what you got
to
do.
I just want to explain this to people. Like, I don't know. I feel guilty about it or something. So it doesn't work that way. You know, if this book sells, it's not like someone's going to mail me a check for $5. It doesn't work that way. So in any case, McCarthy's with Arcan for the rest of the night. So Arcan and McCarthy have you. Matt's got your headlines here. Be plenty to talk about the rest of the way. We'll catch you on Monday. Have a fabulous weekend.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.